teaching ministry of Pastor Debbie Everly. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, this is talking about those fathers of faith from the Old Testament. These all died in faith. Amen. These all died in faith. That's important. I want people to be able to say about me that when I die, when I go to heaven, rather, amen. Amen. But I want people to be able to say about me that I used my faith. Amen. And I was an example of preaching faith, of using my faith. Amen.
Amen.
So not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. In other words, they're talking about the promises that had to do with Jesus, with salvation.
Amen.
I mean, they had a lot of promises that they did receive in their lifetime, but more specifically talking about salvation, the dispensation of grace that was to come. And I believe that they were praying and in faith for these things for us. Thank God.
Amen.
They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, this may be the earth, but that doesn't mean that this is our eternal home. It's just for a short period that we live on this earth. Amen. Amen. So in verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind, remember that, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. In other words, their expectancy, what they look at is for something better. It's a heavenly country. Let's go back to verse 15, because this is what I'm going to be speaking out about tonight. They had called to mind. They had, in other words, they put their attention. I like to, this was what has been coming up in my spirit, the law of displacement. The law of displacement. You know, if you're in a room and there's darkness, how do you get light? You turn the light on.
That's right.
In other words, you've got darkness, but you're replacing it with light.
Amen.
Well, what if you have fear that you're yielding to, because you yield to fear? It's a spirit. Amen. What if you have fear that you're dealing with and all these thoughts and things that are coming against you? What do you do? Do you rebuke that fear?
Come on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
But turn the light on.
Amen.
Because those thoughts are going to keep coming back if you don't have something to fight them off with. And Jesus said when the devil tried to tempt him, remember that? It is written. So the law of displacement, putting our affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Amen. In Colossians chapter 2. And when we put our mind, when we displace, when we trade out the ungodly thoughts with godly thoughts, it's going to change our life.
Amen.
Amen. And you might say, that's just way too simple for my heavy, revy problem.
Come on.
I got heavy stuff going on. You don't understand. I need some heavy, heavy word to help me out. But the word, the wonderful thing is, it's heavy enough to break that problem.
Amen.
But it's simple enough to understand it and apply it. Amen. There was an individual that came to talk to Pastor Jay and I. We love this individual and we appreciate them. But they were talking about, they know things are going to change, but it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. And that's where their eyes were. Their attention was on it's hard. Well, when we put our attention on that it's easy, I'm not saying what it looks like. Saying what you feel like. Your emotions are not always going to feel warm and fuzzy.
Amen.
Sometimes it's going to look hard. Sometimes people are going to come in your path and they're going to spit in your face because they don't like you. They don't like the spirit that you're yielding to, and they would do anything to destroy that. But how many knows it's the darkness that's behind it? It's not the person, it's the darkness. So we don't come against people, but we take authority against that spirit that's working through them. Turn on the light. Turn on the light. When you want to displace that darkness and those problems and all those things that are coming against you, turn on the light. Amen. How is it going to help us if we're sitting there in a room and we're begging God, saying, Lord, it's dark in here. Lord, help. Well, that's good. But he's telling you to do something. Renew that mind. He's telling you, get in the Word of God. Take the scriptures that promise you what you need and put them out. Put them on the situation. And trade the scripture, the promise, with the problem. But when you're just taking the problem and you're telling everybody about it, you might be saying, you know, go and turn around, but I got a problem, I got a problem, I got a problem, I got a problem. I know you got a real big problem, doubt and unbelief, that's the problem. So when we look at our stay here on this earth as a short stay. And it's not about everything I want in life. It's not about the desires of my flesh. It's not about those things that I've been saying all my life. I just want to go to and live in Hawaii. You see, these father of faith, maybe they didn't even know about Hawaii. I don't know. I'm sure they had some nice places, you know, that they were thinking about. Hey, I could just move so-and-so. Yeah. But what did God want for them? Amen. Their lives were spent preparing, displacing the doubt with faith. Their lives were spent preparing the way for the Christ. Their lives were spent laying down what they wanted in their agenda and preaching that the Christ is coming. Prepare the way. Get ready. Amen. And they didn't see that in their day and age, but they knew something good was going to happen. Based on the scriptures, they knew something good was going to happen. And they saw it. They sought a homeland. But it wasn't an earthly one. It was a heavenly one. And how many times we come in our day and we're looking at all the things that this earth has to offer. How many times we're just saying, hey, I just want to fulfill my passion in life. The only passion that's going to get us anywhere above and beyond this earth is a passion for Christ. It's a passion to fulfill His best in our life. The only way that we're going to get out of the muck and the mire of what's going on around here and be excited about our life and stop yielding to the boredom and the problems and the pressures is to start looking. There's a country. There's a place I'm going to. And there's an earthly realm, but there's a heavenly realm. And as I use my faith, as I get an image of what God is telling me to do in my life, and I start speaking, because when you speak out the image that is in your spirit, it will get larger, and it will get larger, and it will get larger until it becomes a reality in the natural. But when you only have an image of the problems you're dealing with, if you only have an image, nothing wrong with the job you're working at, but there's more. There's more. And it's spiritual things, heavenly things. There's more than just going to school during the day. There's more than just going to your job. There's more. And you can get excited because it's spiritual. And when we get an image of what God has called us to do and we start getting excited about that, and it's a heavenly calling. Like I said, Faith, when we hear the Word of God, it comes to our ears of faith, right? But it's deposited in our spirit, and we start getting an image. Pastor's been talking about vision. We start getting an image, and as we speak that, like I was saying, as we speak it, it gets larger, and it gets larger. If we don't speak it, it's going to lie dormant. Or if we speak the opposite, we'll be using our faith for the negative. Oh, yeah, you can have faith in the negative just like you can have faith for God's things. If you're speaking against what God wants in your life, my friend, all hell's going to break loose and accommodate you. But when you're speaking God's plan, oh, yeah, hell will break loose, but you'll overcome it. Amen. I was telling somebody just yesterday, there are cycles that have been built in your life, just all of us. Yeah. We were raised with mentalities, you know?
Yeah.
And many times emotional things that we yielded to as a child or our parents yielded to. And these emotions come up and we're used to accommodating those things. And then we are tempted to go back. Do you know that there are thoughts that trigger emotions that then you follow through with actions? And if we don't learn to renew our mind, if we don't learn to catch the thought before, I mean, we're going to have the feeling, my friend, because when a thought comes, feelings come. And if you've grown up with certain cycles and mentalities and things in your home and those same situations come up in your life today, there will be triggers. But it's not God's fault. He's not the one that raised you in that junk. Don't blame him. He's given you a way out. And that way is the Word of God. Yeah, it's simple. Amen. It's simple, but it'll break that stuff. It'll break those cycles in your life, and you can displace those cycles, and then you can start looking at a better life, a heavenly life, a life that's fulfilled in what God wants you to do, not what your spouse wants you to do, not what mom and dad have programmed you to do all your life. I'm not coming against parents. I'm just saying, if it's not according to the Word of God and the Holy Ghost is rising up in you, my friend, begin to nurture what the Spirit is saying. Begin to nurture what the Spirit is saying. Begin to nurture what the Spirit is saying. And that's by getting an image, by saying it, by saying it, by saying it. Youth, you may be in a situation where your parents are pushing things off on you right and left, but you can nurture it. You can say it at night. Lord, I thank you. I'm fulfilling the plan of God. I thank you. You can walk in love with your parents, but there will come a time of accountability that God's going to expect you to rise up, and he's going to expect you to walk where he's telling you to walk, and not where man is telling you to walk. Amen. We preach and we teach. You respect your parents. You honor your parents. You know, I do believe if they're telling you to lie and things like that, you just have to tell them, no, I can't do that. Can't do it. But you respect them. You honor them. But you nurture and you nurture and you nurture and you walk in love and you walk in love and you walk in love. And there will come a day that God is saying you are to go this way. And if man is against that, you've got to do what God's telling you to do. You cannot keep yourself in the same position year after year after year and it just expected to change overnight. Something's got to be different. Something's got to change. Something's got to displace. Amen. I want you to, well, that wasn't even my message. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 21. Actually, just go to 14. Now back up to 13. Numbers 13. Verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you send a man, every one a leader among them. In other words, God was saying, I'm giving it to them.
Right.
Yeah. It's their land.
Yeah.
He's been talking about the land of milk and honey.
Yeah.
I mean, we've read about that.
Right.
They knew about it. Now it was time to go take it.
Yeah.
So basically, it was theirs.
Right.
The Lord said, I am giving it to you.
Yeah.
Now all you have to do is go possess it.
Right.
Well, how do we possess the land when there's big giants in it?
Yeah.
I mean, they were excited at first.
Right.
They didn't know about the giants. All they knew is about the milk and the honey.
Right.
They knew about all the good stuff,
yeah,
but they didn't know,
yeah,
that there's big, hairy giants, and they fight, and it's probably going to hurt and kill me.
Yeah. Right.
Let's go on to verse 25. So the leaders went. They were excited. They were praising the Lord. They had a party before they even went.
Right.
Telling everybody, God's told me to go into the land. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We have the land.
Come on.
And they were excited.
Yeah.
Well, it was short-lived, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What happened? How many times do friends come to you? Well, praise the Lord, he blessed me with a new car. But then they had to put gas in it. They had to pay the insurance. And one day it broke down. They had to use their faith. They forgot about the new car. Now it's a burden. You know the story of Pastor Tim Horton, who started this church, and Pastor Jay's told this, about the two little boys that wanted to go sledding. And I'll put my twist on it. And they saw this nice hill, and they had their two sleds, and they went down that hill, and they were having a blast. Praise the Lord! I love snow, and I love sledding.
Yeah.
Not me, they did. I'm telling a story about them, not me. I can do without snow. And I don't sled, so whatever. But they were going down that hill, and they were excited. And then running up the hill and going down, and they were excited. And about three or four times into it, one of the little boys was crying. He was walking up the hill and dragging his sled. And the other little boy ran past him with a smile on his face, and he went down again. And the little boy that was crying and dragging his sled, he hadn't even reached the top yet before the other little boy that was having a fun time passed him up again.
Yeah.
Finally, the little boy that was happy turned around and said, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Aren't you? What's wrong? You were having fun before.
Yeah.
He was saying, well, I can't think about all the fun to think that I'm going to take this sled clear up the hill. And the little boy that was happy, he says, well, I don't even think about the climb up because I'm thinking about going down. And there are people that have downslope mentalities. And there are people that have uphill mentalities. You know, because every time you talk to him, it's hard. It's hard, and my heart goes out, I understand,
yeah,
you know, I understand,
yeah,
but if you don't want it to be hard anymore, you're going to have to start using this.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to be able to change that belief and change the image of hard,
yeah,
is start saying it,
yeah,
and start saying it.
Yeah.
And there's action that, you know, there's two different actions. The first one, the most important, is saying it.
Right.
But what is God saying to you?
Amen.
You know, do that too. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Like walk in love. Amen. That's a good action. Pay your bills. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Don't cheat on your taxes. That's a good one. Yeah, these things can negate faith in our lives. But people have an upward, hard mentality when they're focused on the problem 24/7. You know, maybe they'll have their devotions and come to church and it gets better for a while. Why? Because they've displaced it. They're not thinking about the problem. Praise the Lord, they're hearing the word of God. But when they get home and they got to get around the family again, You know, the ones that won't come?
Yeah.
I was doing good till I came home. Well, you could come in the door and whistle a tune and say, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And maybe that his spouse or that family member, not a child, because they need to be here. Amen.
Right.
You don't have to ask them if they want to come or not. You just tell them they're going. Get in the car. Amen. If they lost a shoe on the way, well, just come barefoot, whatever. I've had parents say, you know, they came and they didn't have their shoes on. Well, just put them in the car and that'll teach them to put them on next time. Amen. Well, you're mean. No. You're not making me late. Amen. If we have to, we'll leave a pair of shoes at the church, but you're going to be there. Amen. Just get them by the ear and pull them on. But, you know, you come to individuals that are planted in your life as obstacles,
uh-huh.
as detours.
Yeah.
And you can either smile and walk in love and choose to be happy through the situation and be using your faith that it's going to change, it's going to change, it's changing, it's changing, it's coming to pass, it's coming to pass. Or you can just think about, you know what, this person is a thorn in the flesh. No, the devil's the thorn in the flesh. The person just happens to be accommodating him. So what did we say? You take authority over the devil, but displace it with light. In other words, be speaking your faith. Be speaking your faith. You can't make somebody else do something.
That's right.
But you sure can influence it. I said, you can't make them do it, but you can influence it. And I can take authority over the devil that's working through that person. Amen. And then you take authority in your home and be a leader in your home. And you let that spouse or you let those children, you let whoever know this junk of pornography, wrong programs and things like that are not coming in my home. Amen. If you're young in the Lord, it's going to take time to get there, but you'll get there and the Lord will start dealing with you. You're going to have to stand up.
Amen.
Hey, use wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, you just get saved and go home and tell your husband, okay, you got to throw everything away. Forget it. It's not going to work, okay? But as you grow in the Lord, and as the Lord helps you to see the things in your own life, because it's about us, it's not about everybody else, but he teaches you what you need to do to grow and how to walk in love and what you need to do for it yourself. Don't go home and tell your spouse, this is a scripture pastor preached on, I know it's for you. No. Use it for yourself. I tell people in counseling all the time, work on yourself.
That's right.
When you get kinder, when you're walking in love, then they're going to respond.
Yeah.
Well, walking in love is an action of your faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. So they were all excited about going into the land that the Lord had been telling them about. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But in verse 26, they departed, came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation. And showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. In verse 2, it says, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Moses sent them, but they were digressing.
Yeah, that's good. That's right.
And they were already starting to blame the man of God because they didn't like the outlook. And how many times we're all excited about it, but then it's not going the way we want. And the first one we start blaming is the preacher. You've been preaching prosperity. Well, why is it not working? Because of that hole in your face that you just said it wasn't working. There's something about that. We can use it for good or for evil. And I didn't make you say it. Amen. But moving right along, I know y'all love me.
Amen.
You have to, or you can't go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Where they, you know, where you sin is Moses. It truly flows with milk and honey. Yeah, that's great. Nevertheless, and they're just digressing more, the people who dwell in the land are strong and so on and so forth. Let's go down to verse 1. This was a mighty digression. So all the congregation lifted up their voices, 14:1, and cried. Like that's going to get you anything.
Right.
Well, of course, you know, we've all cried before, but you know, there's time to just get up and wipe yourself off and just say, Lord, I fess up. I've missed it.
Yeah.
Now, we've all cried. We've all yielded to the wrong things.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
That's right.
But one time or another,
yeah.
We've yielded.
Yeah.
We wanted to stone the preacher. We wanted to stone our husband and wife. We wanted to stone the dog. We displaced our anger on everybody else. And they wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation. Yeah, all the leadership now. Verse 4, so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Now you know why we don't have board members among the church. They throw you out the minute you preach something they didn't like. And some of you have been to those churches. Some of you have helped them throw them out. That's what you were taught. You know, Sister So-and-so, Sister Bucket Mouth came and they started talking about the preacher and they started, they just don't have it anymore and they haven't done this for me and they haven't done, yeah, well, and then you start chiming in. Yeah, well, come to think of it, they didn't, last Sunday when I was walking out, the pastor didn't shake my hand. And it's a holy digression. Not holy, but it's a digression. And then it spreads like wildfire. Amen. Well, we have the proper board, but it's ministers, amen, that understand those things. Amen. Hallelujah. But Joshua, the son of Nun, in verse 6, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and spoke to all the congregation. They tried to divert. They tried to get their mentality back on God. Because they knew. They were of a different spirit. That's what it says. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went. And his descendants shall inherit. He had a different spirit. It was a spirit of faith.
Yes.
We believe, therefore we speak.
Right.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 13. We believe, therefore we speak.
Amen.
That's what, you know, they were saying.
Yeah.
They were acting by their words. And they told the congregation in verse 7, chapter 14. They spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. They weren't focused on the giants. Verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel. It's not cute to cry and, well, just move right along. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. We were talking, how do you displace fear? Well, what's the opposite of fear? Faith. So you can either yield to fear or faith. There's no in between.
Right, that's good.
Amen. They only had two directions, either to keep on digressing and not go in the land, or to use their faith. And did you notice that the only thing that Joshua and Caleb said about the obstacles was, we're well able. You don't deny natural realities. Yeah, there may be a mountain in your way. There may be giants in your way. There may be financial situations. There may be a bank that says, no, you can't have that loan. There may be situations that people are telling you, hey, but you use your faith. And you keep saying it, and you keep saying it, and you know, it doesn't matter, because those emotions that triggered when a thought comes, because your mentalities of the past is how you responded before, you tell it to go.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And we have individuals in this church, I mean, several situations. But how many in this church, you know, just homes? I mean, people are moving into homes just this last couple weeks? Yeah. Another person that I'm looking at here, they said she couldn't have that home. Well, God blessed you with that home. Because you're a tither, you're a giver, and because you speak your faith over the situation. It's not just wishing it to be so. You're actively hearing and doing. Actively hearing and doing. Your foundation is based on the Word of God, the promises along that line, and you use those promises by speaking them over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And then go ahead and go to Mark 11. We've talked about this many times, but it just, if we don't do this, it's not going to happen. And then, you know, you can get mad at God, but it's still not going to help the situation. You know, you think that your anger is going to change it, but it just digresses more. You know, those Israelites, what happened to them? Yeah, they died in the wilderness. The ones that were speaking their faith went in. So it's not cute to rebel. It's not cute to be speaking doubt and unbelief. It's not, you know, you run into a friend and they're shopping and they're talking about, yeah, I got that H1N1 stuff. It's not cute to say, yeah, ha, 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 ha. Well, I'm not saying to slap them in the face and tell them you're speaking doubt and unbelief. Stop it. I mean, if they're going to the same church you are and hearing the same word, I mean, it'd be a good thing to say, you know what? We've got the Word of God on that matter and remind them. But I'm not saying to be a Holy Ghost policeman and just, are you walking in faith today? I heard you say that. No, that's not what we're called to be, people of love. Hello.
Amen.
I mean, we want to spur people on. We want to motivate them. Did that motivate you?
No.
Yeah, probably not. But it's not cute to just laugh and, you know, accommodate it. But sometimes you just got to sit there and say nothing.
That's right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And they're like, didn't you just hear me? I have H1N1. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And you just can say, you know, check your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you say, you know what? We've been learning about healing.
That's right.
And I've been meditating on this scripture. Could I share it with you?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
By Jesus' stripes, we're healed. In other words, Jesus bore our sickness. Can I pray with you? I'd love to lay hands on you.
Amen.
Some people might think you're weird and say, well, I'd rather not. But most of the time they say yes. I mean, have y'all found that out? One, two, three of you that, okay. Amen. I just found out who's praying for other people. Amen. No, just kidding. But, you know, we can use wisdom, walk in love, but let's not accommodate doubt and unbelief.
Amen.
Now, in chapter 11, Mark 11, 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Like we've said before, the speaking is three times over the believing. Yes, it's a belief in your heart, but it's just going to sit there if you're not saying anything. Well, if you're saying the wrong thing's going to work for you. But when it says he, those things he says will be done. I believe other translations will come to pass. Is that how it says it? Well, it's the Greek word ganamahi. Aren't you glad I told you that? Ganamahi. And that means to generate. Generate. In other words, like we were saying Monday night in healing class, the lights, they begin to spit and sputter because maybe there's a storm or something. And then the generator will kick in and come on. And as long as that generator is working, you have lights. But if it starts, if it stops, there's darkness. And I said, it's just like when you're driving a car. You put gas in the car, and when you put your foot on the gas, it'll run if you take it off.
Right.
In other words, if you want to drive it down to Walmart, put on the gas. Amen. And in order to generate that, you use this. Because that's the context. It says, whatever you say, if you believe what you say, it will come to pass. It will be generated by the words of your mouth. Amen. So Caleb and Joshua generated a passage to the promised land. They had an image in their spirit. They had been hearing about the promised land. God had already promised them. They knew about the milk and the honey. They knew about the blessings. You know what? They probably knew about the giants too. You know, I'm sure they heard about that. What did the people think? That God's just, you know, going to kill all the giants in mass destruction? God, and then they can just move in? I mean, wouldn't it have been nice? But God expects us to use our faith when there are obstacles in our way. Speak to it. Now, is it, you know, like one minister said, you know, these young faith boys, they come in, they learned about saying. So they put on their hard hats, they strap in, and they bunch over. In the name of Jesus, mountain be removed, and it's going to go boom. And then they're going to run in and possess the land. No.
Come on.
You keep saying it. 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 And it generates the thing that you need. If you only needed to say it once, why is the scripture emphasizing saying so much? It is good. Thank you. If you only need to say it once, then why is it talking about keep saying it? Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Is this all right?
Yes.
What time is it? Oh my goodness, is it already 8:05? They get that late. All right, where's Proverbs? Proverbs 4. Drink break. Go ahead. My son, verse 20, Proverbs 4, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they, or my words, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Give attention. That word attend means to occupy. You've probably heard pastors say this before, but it means to occupy. And I look, you know, synonyms for that word occupy are this: to absorb, amuse, attend, be active with, concerned with. In other words, you're not concerned with the problem, you're concerned with the word.
Amen.
Busy, divert. Your attention is diverted to the right thing. Employ, engage, engross, entertain, fill, hold attention, immerse, involve, keep busy, monopolize, You're working that thing. Preoccupy, soak, take up, tie up, and utilize. Amen. You don't walk by the flesh, you walk in the Spirit. And that word walk means to utilize. Use what you have. But you can't use what you have. You know, those football players, when they go to catch the ball, if they take their eye off the ball, how many times you see them, oh, you know they're going to catch it because they're a good player, right? But if they, and they've got their eye on the ball, and then they turn their head to look at the guy that's going to come and hit them, and they drop the ball. Their attention was diverted on the wrong thing. But when they keep their eye on the ball, then they can catch it. Amen. But when they're looking at the giant that's going to knock them over any minute. But we have grace for the giants. We can speak to the situation and it will change. And it will turn around. Amen. There are situations you're believing God for. God's told you you can have that home because you prayed and you believed and you received by faith. Well, when it looks like you can't even pay for the lights.
Come on.
I mean, we've told the story in Tulsa when we bought our first home. Yeah. It looked like we couldn't even buy the front door on the house. But it turned around because we were speaking our faith and it generated the image that we had in our heart of that house. We had believed that we received that home by faith, and then we began to say it, and then God dealt with us to do a few things that we did, and all the money came in. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to Colossians. Colossians 2, actually 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The William says, practice occupying your minds with. Occupy, remember? That's what that word attend meant. We'll read that again. In the New King James Version, in my Bible, it says, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. The William says, practice occupying your mind with. Observe, remember? Amuse, attend, be active with, concerned with, busy, divert, employ, engage, engross. Absorb it. Occupy your mind. But what's part B of that verse say? Not on things on the earth.
That's right.
And the Tay translation says, don't spend your time worrying about things down here.
Come on. That's good. That's real good.
No, worry the word.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that? Worry the word. Be concerned with the word.
Yes.
The word is the only thing that's going to take you out of that situation.
Yes.
Amen. Worry that. Stop worrying the problem. And like I said before, you know, people think about the problem, so they don't want to let go of sin in their life. Because if they let go of sin, they say, well, I'm just going to do it again when I get home. I'm just going to do it again tomorrow. Well, why don't you let the word work in you? In other words, repent. Let 1 John 1:9 work for you. Let God's grace use the grace that's in you. Because if by the Spirit, in other words, the only way you're going to overcome addiction, pornography, wrong thinking, things like this, is by the grace of God. And you say what you're hearing. You know, you can renew your mind, but if you don't do anything with it, it's not going to help you. You can know the right thing, but if you don't say it, it won't help you. And then when the challenges come, they're going to overtake you, and you're going to give in to that sin again. Because you don't have the Spirit of life working. But when you're saying it, Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are spirit in their life.
Amen.
My words are spirit in their life.
Yes.
When we hear the word,
yes. Amen.
Come on.
There's a belief that rises up inside of us.
Amen.
But when we speak it out of our mouth, power goes out. Life. And if it's something addictive that we're dealing with, it will work on that situation to help.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, before, every time you thought of that thing, you were just shaking.
Yeah. Come on. Right. Come on.
But now the grace of God is there.
Amen.
And like I said, don't call the drug dealer. Don't call somebody else that's having a problem with drugs. Put on a CD.
Yes.
A Pastor Jay.
Yes.
Amen. Call a good Holy Ghost wild word and spirit person.
Yes.
Or just sit in your problem. You can do that too.
Yes.
You know, some of you are looking at me, yeah, that's nice. Well, if you do it, it'll work for you. You can just sit in the same mess day after day after day after day after. But if you utilize the Word of God, if you begin to speak it, then all that junk you've been dealing with and you've been crying about and you've been saying, God, nobody loves me and it's not working for me and all that stuff, it's going to start changing, because the only reason it's going to change is because you're changing. You're displacing it with something. And you need to get radical about it. I told somebody, if I wasn't hearing the word daily and speaking it, I'd be a drug addict. You don't know the background I came out of. You don't know the abuse that I was subjected to. And if you're watching this, mom and dad, I'm not talking about you necessarily. Amen. You know, they worked with what they had to work with. But I was subjected to things. My parents were subjected to things in their childhood. But the only way we can sit around and cry about it. We can sit around and digress and say it's hard and have that mentality that little boy had about going up the hill. Every time I go up the hill, it's all I can think about. But then the other little boy, he's thinking about, I'm excited. God is good. It's working for me. And I just slide down the hill. Because grace is working on my behalf. And when you miss it, you get back up again. When you miss it, you get back up again. When you miss it, you get back up again. I've told you the story about the young man and woman that we were counseling some years back. And, you know, young pastors, you want to slap them, but I didn't. And I asked him, do you spend time with the Lord? Well, I don't read my Bible because I can't focus on it. You don't what? Well, what about the sermon? Well, I fall asleep a lot of the times in the... Yeah, I know. Well, along with other people, too.
Come on. Go ahead. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Some of you just need to get more sleep, but then other of you need to stop yelling to the devil. There are times when I want to fall asleep too, but shut up! I said it. Where's Josh at? Josh likes it when I say, shut up! Shut up, mind. Shut up, devil. Shut up, body. You're listening to the Word of God. And you're going to take notes. And write it down and say it. Shut up! And, you know, I just wanted to hook. I wanted him to be able to hook up somewhere. Well, do you get CDs and listen to them? You know, take them. Because he was a mechanic and, you know, he was able to listen to... Well, I get distracted and I just can't focus. Well, do you read books? Well, I just, you know, I can't focus. Well, how did you learn to be a mechanic?
Yeah,
hello. Yeah.
You gotta read some books.
Yeah. It doesn't come by osmosis. Well, my dad was, so I just be, lo and behold, one day I'm a mechanic. I just wasn't be able, I just couldn't, I knew how to use this tool overnight. No, you read about it. You took tests. I'm sorry, I can't help you. I can't read the Bible for you. I mean, some people want us to. Todd, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, are you getting that?
Yes, I am.
Don't spit it out, honey, okay? I understand a baby. Todd's not a baby, amen? He doesn't act that way either, amen? Or I don't know about it. Maybe Tracy knows other. I don't know. Well, hallelujah. You can stand up. The law of displacement. What are you using?
Come on.
What are you focusing on? What is your attention on? Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking about, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm going to fall asleep sometimes too, but I don't let my body.
Amen. Come on, that's right.
Amen. Amen. I don't let it dictate to me.
No.
And I start speaking right there in my seat. I start saying, I'm attending to your words,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, life is working
that's
in me.
Right.
See, because all that life can just be dormant laying there. You and your snoring self. Or you can say something and let it work and rise up in you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, I just told the Lord I'm going to yield more to that preaching gift. Amen. And I've been getting in trouble with God and my husband. Amen. So just been, well, not trouble, but, you know, with the Lord, just been dealing with me. Start yielding to that.
Amen.
Start yielding to that more.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's all good. Amen. Have you been ministered to tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you bow your heads?
If you would like more information about Pastor Debbie Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at sofffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.